Moss.
Chairperson, good morning.
Good morning. Can you quickly round up members of parliament who have not yet logged in
Yes,
so
Chairperson.
that in the next 3 minutes we should start with our meeting?
Yes, Chair. Chair, can I just put on record that the three members who are in Germany who have received their apology, Honorable Dlamini won't be part of this meeting.
I'm
Meaning,
aware. Yes, just round up all members who have not yet logged in. We can see we got six here, so that we start. Time we are going to start with our meeting, just allowing all the members to log in. We will start with no time. Good morning, Honorable members. It is just 4 minutes after 10 o'clock. I think we must start with our meeting. I had requested that all members must log in, and hopefully those who have not yet logged in will do so. I want to
Recording
take
in
this
progress.
opportunity to welcome all of you present in this meeting. This is the first meeting of the committee in this third quarter of the year, the financial year 2023-24. And I want to really, really welcome all of you after we had our recess, as well as the constituency office, constituency work, the period that we engage ourselves in. Now, last week, we, all of us, irrespective as members of parliament, from the side of the NCOP, we had the provincial week where we visited our provinces to engage with local structures and communities, sharing with them our work, getting more insight about the work that they do, especially in respect of building the necessary municipal and provincial infrastructure. And I'm sure in the course of our engagement, we know what are the issues and challenges in that respect. But secondly, this meeting is is a bit depleted. Members have undertaken a visit to Germany, especially the whips. And in our meeting, in our committee here, we're missing three people who have undertaken the study tour to Germany. But because of the work that is before us, I think we need to proceed with the work of Parliament, because the schedules are tight. We are on the last leg of this term, the sixth term of the Parliament. In that way, I want to really welcome all of you. Today, we have a special meeting where we are going to receive a briefing from the department on the charter, the African Union Charter on the values and principles of decentralization, local governance, and local development. Yes, this is what we are going to do for the purpose of our meeting today. Must any other apology except the apologies from the three members that you mentioned? And for the record, can you just mention those members?
The official one table chairperson is from Honorable Dlamini. That's only one apology that you received, the chairperson.
And Honorable Bartlett, Honorable Maleka, and Wells. Sorry, not Maleka, and Dongeni, and Wells.
And Honorable Hadebe.
Honorable Hadebe has also gone to Germany.
Yes, Chairperson.
And Honorable Dango.
I'm not quite sure about Honorable Dango, Chair, but those that I know is Honorable Hadebe, Dongeni, and Honorable Bartlett, Chairperson.
Okay, I was informed that he was also going to Germany. But be that as it may, today we are just going to receive a presentation. I'm told that Dr. Naidu is designated to facilitate this. I think the purpose of this meeting is to receive the presentation and to engage with the presentation, because in the final analysis, we need to ratify the presentation, the charter, the AU charter. As we are aware, this charter was adopted on the 27th of June 2014 in Malabo, Equatorial Guinea, by some members of the African Union in terms of the Constitutive Act of the AU, the act that established the AU. And specifically because this one, the charter, affects the work that we do as Parliament, we need to engage with it. It's about the principles and the values of decentralization, of government, local governance, and all its pillars and facets, as well as promoting local development, social, economic, cultural, and local development in that sense. We are going to receive that presentation and thereafter engage with the presentation itself. If you allow, can I invite Dr. Naidu to come forward? In the process of doing that, he will introduce the team that accompanies him to this meeting. I think it's not a long presentation. I was advised this morning that some amendments and additions were effected in the presentation that we received some days ago. I've looked at them. They are not of material nature. They are just minor changes. They make little difference in terms of what we have already received. Then I accepted that. In that way, can I invite Honorable Mr. Dr. Naidu to present before us? Okay, over to you, Dr. Naidu.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson. I'm joined by my team. Maybe Mr. Manele can flight the presentation so long. My team, Mr. Wayne McCormans, Honorable Chair, is the Chief Director responsible for municipal governance. It's a Tepo Kasi. It deals with powers, functions, and interventions support. Also joined by Ms. Chawakazi Tembani. She is heading our international relations unit in the department. So, Honorable Chair, good morning to you and to all members of the committee. If Mr. Manele can help with the presentation.
Okay, Dr. Naidu.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Manele. If you can go to presentation mode. Chair, yes, indeed. We did make very minor edits to the presentation, which was shared this morning. The first omission that we had made was that we had not included the word union in the title of the presentation. So like you've indicated, Chair, it's not of a material nature that the changes that was effected to the presentation. So we're going to run through these broad topics in the presentation, Chair. And I think you've already indicated in your introductory remarks the purpose. If you can go to the next slide, Mr. Mandela. Purpose, of course, is to brief the committee and to present the African Union Charter on the values and principles of decentralization, local governance, and local development. And for purposes of referring to this in the subsequent slides in the presentation, we will refer to it as the Decentralization Charter. To present it to the select committee responsible for COCTA, and then to request that the committee support the ratification of the charter in terms of section 2312 of the Constitution of the Republic of South Africa. Honorable Chair and members of the committee, you will see in the next slide that the Honorable Chair has already alluded to the fact that the charter was adopted in June 2014. If you can move the slides, Mr. Manele. In Equatorial Guinea, the main purpose thereof is to provide a decentralization framework to assist African Union member states in developing their constitutional and legislative prescripts on decentralizing powers and functions from highest spheres or tiers of government to subnational governments. You've been a bit too fast for me, Mr. Manele. So as one goes through the other bulleted points on the previous slide, Honorable Chair and members of the committee, you would see that the charter has indeed been vetted by our chief state law advisors, both at the Department of International Relations and Cooperation, but also by the Department of Justice and Constitutional Development. So as things stand, there are 17 countries that have already signed the Decentralization Charter. 9 countries have ratified it and deposited the charter at the African Union headquarters in Addis Ababa. And as soon as the 15th member state has ratified and deposited the charter, it will come into effect for all signatory member states. If we can go to the next slide, which then gives a very high level overview of the 26 articles in the charter itself. If we can move the slides, Mr. Manele. And as one would go through these slides dealing with the 26 different articles, you would see that there's a common thread that goes through each of the articles. And that common thread or threads would be that the member states shall enact domestic laws and regulations, it shall create enabling conditions, et cetera, in terms of each of the different articles. So the previous slide would deal with articles 1 to 4. The synchronization is not on par with the pace that I'm presenting, Mr. Manele. So if one looks at article 1, it deals with the key concepts, objectives, scope, and core values of the Charter. And it promotes, protects, and acts as a catalyst for decentralization, local governance, and local development on the continent. So Article 5 in Chapter 2 of the Charter deals with local governance, and it provides that each state party shall enact domestic laws, regulations, recognizing different levels of government with the mandate to exercise their competencies. Now, of note that one should have here is that as the state law advisors had provided us with their opinions, they specifically pointed out that we indeed as a country have to a large extent already provided for this requirement, in that we have the Demarcation Act, the Structures Act, Systems Act, the Municipal Finance Management Act, etc., etc. Article 6 deals with subsidiarity, and it provides that states, that national and central governments shall create enabling conditions for decision making, policy and program initiation, adoption and implementation to take place at lower levels of government. The next slide deals with Article 7. And Article 7 specifically relates to resource mobilization and local economic development, and states that national or central governments shall adopt legislation, measures, and establish relevant mechanisms to give local governments the authority to mobilize and disperse resources at the local level for local economic development. Article 8 deals with diversity and differentiation, and it provides that local governments or local authorities may establish consultative mechanisms informed by local conditions to make proposals or give opinions concerning guidelines or decisions on local development. Article 9 provides that local governments shall adopt bylaws. And Article 10 then deals with inclusion, equity, and equality, and provides that local governments shall discharge their responsibilities and duties in a manner that is inclusive, equitable, and gives equal treatment to all local residents to ensure that citizens and local residents have equitable access to quality services. Article 11 talks to shared responsibility and complementarity, and states that local governments or local authorities promote and improve the livelihoods and environment of local communities, while Article 12 deals with participation and provides that national legislation shall guarantee the rights and outline responsibilities of citizens to participate in public life at the local level. The next slide deals with Articles 13 to 15, and Article 13 provides that The central government shall establish innovative measures and appropriate mechanisms to ensure the full participation of all eligible citizens, including specific measures for the representation of women and marginalized groups in local government elections within the framework of national legislation. Article 14 talks to transparency, accountability, and ethical behavior, and provides that measures for the promotion of transparency and accountability by municipalities shall be clearly outlined in national legislation. And I believe that our PAIA and our PAJA speaks to the requirements relating to this specific article. Article 15 talks to mainstreaming gender, youth, and disability, and provides that local governments or local authorities shall integrate gender, youth, and disability issues in the overall process of formulating policy, planning development, and providing services. The next slide deals with Articles 16 to 18 of the Charter, and provides in relation to efficiency that national legislation shall be adopted to empower local governments to determine and manage the organization of local public administration within a common national framework of standards. Now, when one unpacks this specific article, one would find that there's five different components that lives in this article. And those components relate to local governance, administration. It talks to resource mobilization and utilization. It talks to capacity development, natural resources, and fourthly, local government financing, financial management, and local development. Article 17 speaks to solidarity, cooperation, and partnership, and provides that local governments may enter into appropriate partnerships with non-African local governments to promote cooperation, especially South-South cooperation. While Article 18 talks to follow-up mechanisms, and there's an ensuing slide that provides a bit more information on dissemination to create favorable conditions. The next slide talks to Articles 19 to 26 and provides in respect of Article 19 reporting, and requires that once the Charter comes into force, that for every 3 years, reports would need to be submitted to the African Union Commission. Article 20 deals with recognition, award system, and commemoration, and provides that the African Union Commission shall promote innovative experiences and institute a system of awards for innovation in decentralization, local governance, and local development. Articles 21 to 26 are the last articles in Chapter 4 of the Decentralization Charter. And these articles provide for safeguard provisions, settlement of disputes, signature ratification or accession, entry into force, amendment, and depository. The provisions of the Charter provides that shall not be interpreted in a manner that is inconsistent with the principles of international law, including international customary law, and also provides that any dispute relating to the Charter shall be amicably resolved through direct negotiations between the state parties concerned. Honorable Chair and members, the next slide deals with the implementation plan of the Charter itself, and provides in Chapter 3 of the Charter that at least at an individual state party level, and in relation to local government, requires that local government shall equally be responsible and accountable to their local population for the implementation of the objectives of this Charter and adherence to its values and principles. at state party level and where national government is involved. It provides that state parties adopt legislative, executive, and administrative measures to align national laws and regulations to the objectives of the Charter and to adhere to the values and principles contained therein. At the African Union Commission level and at a regional level, it provides that in accordance with their constitutive instruments, regional economies shall encourage member states to ratify, accede to, implement, and monitor the Charter. And at a continental level, to ensure and facilitate the implementation of this Charter, the Commission shall develop guidelines for the implementation thereof. Lastly, Honourable Chair and members of the committee, we recommend that the Select Committee responsible for COCTA notes the African Union Charter on the values and principles of decentralization, local governance and local development that seeks to provide a framework for the decentralization of powers and functions from national governments to other spheres of government across the continent. And secondly, to support the ratification of the Charter in terms of section 2312 of the Constitution of the Republic of South Africa. Honourable Chair, the presentation, like I've indicated, gives a very high level summary of each of the articles that's provided for in the Charter, and the actual detail is in the Charter itself. And thank you very much for your attention.
Thank you very much, Dr. Naidu, for the presentation. I think it was quite clear and informative. I would take this opportunity to invite members of Parliament to engage with the presentation, ask questions, make comments, and take it from there. Remember, the whole intention is that we must, if we are satisfied, recommend to the House whether they must ratify the Charter or not based on our articulations and discussions. Over to you, Honorable Smith, and followed by Honorable Sheikh.
Good morning, Chair. Am I audible?
Yes, you are. Most of
you. Thank you very much, Chair. Chairperson, I want to actually ask the department, if we look at this Charter and then we look in contradiction to the DDM, how does the DDM fall into this Charter? Because according to me, there's big contradictions between the two. And that is exactly why we as the DA are against the DDM, because it is contradicting a general practice throughout the continent. Thank you, Jay.
Thank you, Honorable Smith, followed by Honorable Sheikh.
Yeah, thank you very much, Chairperson, and greetings to your good self and to all members. And let me also thank the department for the presentation. Chair, I think that this is an important charter, but what I would want to inquire about is that even though that it was adopted in 2014, why is it that as a country that it's only now that we want to ratify it? Because, Chair, if you look at the various articles and the principles of the Charter, it is very much in line and in tune with our constitutional framework, as well as the various pieces of legislation that we have. I think I would want to know why it's only now that we want to ratify this Charter. But secondly, also given, what are the other implications, if there are any, that will have on us as a country, and or how will we also benefit through this process? Chair, and having said that as well, I think that we should also support the ratification of the Charter. Thank you very much.
Any other input before I come in? Is that all? Let me have a bite as well. Firstly, I welcome this presentation. As I indicated, it is quite informative and enlightening. I must say that this is an area of my interest. Now, the following, Dr. Naiji. One, we accept that this we are doing in terms of Section 231 of the Constitution to ultimately ratify it and make it binding, legally binding, in the context of South Africa. But I see most of the provisions encapsulated in the Charter are the areas of work that South Africa is already implementing. For example, the issue that we have decentralized government, that there is intergovernmental relationship, there is cooperation between different spheres of government, that there is a series of legislation pertaining to local government, your Municipal Structures Act, your Municipal Systems Act, your Municipal Finance Management Act, and so on. And that on their own, municipalities do pass bylaws on a regular basis. They raise income and revenue and all of that. And I can see that most of these principles and values contained here, South Africa share. But there are two criticisms about this chart. I want you to talk to that. The first one is about traditional leadership. Most of the African countries are governed by the traditional authority setup, and this charter doesn't specify exactly how should local government relate to traditional authorities. It does just state that in general terms, countries must develop their own ways of managing contradictions, managing structures, and so on. And it doesn't spell in precision how the relationship should be between traditional authorities and local government. That's the first one. The second one relates to the autonomy. Whilst obviously for political reasons, I don't agree with Honorable Smith, but I want you to respond to that. How do you, some people raise concern about the local autonomy, that this charter doesn't expressly address the issue of local autonomy and it doesn't protect the powers and functions of local government. What is your role in that? Whether it's about intervention, it's about supervision, it's about encroaching generally in the space of local government. How do you respond to those particular questions? Other than that, I can see that this chart actually, as I read it, it's like it was written by a South African, or I can see the hand of a South African, because all the areas that you covered, the clauses and principles, about 26 of them, that you covered, South Africa, broadly speaking and overwhelmingly, comply with those. But I want you to speak to these issues that I've raised and other members of parliament have also raised. Over to you.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair. I'm going to portion the responses to my colleagues as follows. Mr. Kasi, if you can maybe just speak to the issue around the delay that was raised by Honorable Sheikh, as well as to the matter relating to traditional leadership, as raised by the Honorable Chair. Mr. McCormans, if you can just speak to the matter relating to DDM, and then I will come through and respond to any things that would need amplification. So Mr. Kasi and Mr. McCormans in that order.
Chairperson, thank you very much, Dr. Naidu, Honorable Chairperson and Honorable Members of Parliament. Thank you very much. Indeed, in regard to the question as to why now the charter is being processed, I must say there was some confusion between our department as COCTA and DIRCO. DIRCO basically, obviously, their mandate is to deal with international relations, but then when the department was intrinsically part of the development of this, and now the processes on ratification, DIRCO at that time thought that it was their process, but given that the subject matters and all, the department has to enter the fray and negotiate with DIRCO to say this particular aspect of work still, belongs to the department for the department to process it up until that was allowed. Hence, the delay in this regard. Regarding the second question around the threats, indeed, the charter dealt with three things. But indeed, the involvement of the stakeholders were more of regional was that the governments, local governments, and indeed even provincial governments. But indeed, on the charter itself, there was no role much that was given to the threats, and I guess that might have been an oversight. But going forward, Chair, indeed, ratification can be, done. What has been allowed by the depositing of this ratification is that further suggestions to the amendments, if necessary, may be submitted to the committee involved in this at the AU. Thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you, DDG, and good morning, Honourable Chair and Honourable Members. Mr. McCormans, yeah. I will be responding to the question from Honourable Smith. I think it's important that we start off by responding or by defining what is the DDM. DDM is a system that seeks to coordinate how government does things from a planning perspective between the three spheres of government. So the intention with DDM was never to change the current system of governance within our country. Each sphere will still be maintaining their planning responsibility in terms of the legislation governing that particular sphere. But in terms of coordination between the three spheres, that is the intention that the DDM is trying to achieve by bringing together all spheres of government so that we plan in a streamlined way. As government, so and hence it respects the system of governance, which is then based on the principle of decentralization. So I think in that context, there's alignment between the charter itself and the intention behind DDM. Thanks, Chair.
Chair, if I can see that at the hand.
New chair, we don't hear you.
I was saying that, Dr. Naidu.
Thank you very much, Chair.
Are you done?
No, I just wanted to make one or two points, Chair.
Yes, please.
So on the matter relating to traditional leadership, I am aware of the African Union Charter on Democracy, Elections, and Governance. And I think this dates back to around 2003, 2004, where it, to some extent, dealt with the issue relating to traditional leadership. So while we take the point made by Mr. Kasi that the matter relating to traditional leadership could still be amplified in the charter that we're talking about, I think to some extent, it may have been covered in previous charters that have been concluded by the organization. Now, the implications for the country that was raised by Honorable Sheikh. Now, I think to a large extent, and even when I engage with our peers in other states on the continent, I think to a large extent, we as a country are leading in terms of policy development, legislative development in relation to local government. The legislation that we cited, Chair, yourself and myself, in relation to demarcation structures, systems, financial management, etc. I think we have a lot to offer our brothers and sisters on the continent. And I think perhaps as the charter gets ratified and deposited, there could be these calls that we for support and assistance in relation to the policy domain relating to local governments. When one talks around autonomy in the sector, and you know, when one looks specifically at the charter itself and the definition that is provided for decentralization in there. And it says specifically that decentralization means the transfer of power, responsibilities, capacities, and resources from national to all subnational levels of government with the aim of strengthening the ability of the latter to both foster people's participation and delivery of quality services. So I think, you know, when one deep dives into the charter itself, there's elements of autonomy, devolution of powers, etc., that finds its expression therefrom. And, you know, get the charter ratified itself, and I think the reporting requirement that is required every 3 years once ratified or comes into force, I think these issues around autonomy, etc., would find expression in the reports that would be coming through. And perhaps at that point, one could see how these things that are still blurry in nature could become clearer during that reporting period. And Honourable Chair, so let me pause there and take any other questions if there may be. Thank you.
So thank you once more, Dr. Naidu. I see the follow-up hand from Honourable Smith. Over to you, Honourable Smith.
Thank you, Honourable Chair. Chair, Mr. Wayne actually contradicts himself when he says that, you know, the district development model is in line with the charter, where, you know, coordination to streamline all levels throughout. Now, if you go and look at the DDM, it actually does centralize certain functions. Let's talk about the budget. It doesn't give it to the lowest possible level, closest to the people. It want to ensure that it is controlled at a central point within a bundle of municipalities, and there's certain dictation that happens from national government. So it totally contradicts this charter, and that's why I'm saying, you know, this charter sets the tone, and the DDM is totally contradicting it. And well, I don't know how you're going to justify that, because if you really go into the elements of it, it totally contradicts each other.
Yes. Can I say that let's remind ourselves of the purpose of this engagement is to receive a presentation with a view of proposing or recommending the ratification of the charter on the values and principles of decentralization, local governance and local development to Parliament. That is the whole intention. It is not about the DDM. I'm sure if we can discuss the DDM, we'll sit here the whole day engaged, because Honorable Smith will not agree with you. I have a different point of view from what you have, totally a different point of view. I see DDM as a correct platform. You don't see it as a correct platform. It is a good program from my side. It's not, but this meeting is not about the DDM. And we can debate it. And I propose that maybe one day in our meeting, because DDM is implemented basically by the presidency and by the Department of COGDA, we should discuss it as a committee and look at it, and especially its implementation at different districts. And this should be something that we may want to do. But for now, this meeting is about the charter of the AU on the values and principles of decentralization and so on. I suggest that we must stick to that and say, what are we saying with regard to this charter? Whether we think that it's a good charter for South Africa. South Africa has signed it, as I understand. We just need to ratify it so that it is legally binding to us as a member state of the African Union. I think this is the purpose of this meeting. And I would really one day want to listen to you carefully when you raise your concerns and criticisms about the DDM. And to be quite frank and honest with you, we've never had that time where we just discuss this system called DDM in that sense and look at its own weaknesses and strength and how it is getting implemented and whether it will assist the country to realign, to coordinate, to work together in that sense. I suggest that debate around DDM, we must leave it at that point. In the absence of, Mr. Badenoch want to say something, and I also see Honorable Sheikh in that order as we round up.
I just want to ask a question with regards to the decentralization of the charter proposes decentralization. Where does the charter stand then, following the line of decentralization on devolution of powers? In other words, where the central government cannot or doesn't want to fulfill a certain function, would the charter then make that it possible for that function then to devolve to another sphere of government, like a provincial or a local government? So let's see where the charter stands on that, please. Thank you very much, Chair.
All right, straight for that. Before I go to Honourable Sheikh, can we respond to this question first? Dr. Maidu?
Thank you. Thank you very much, Chair. So look, the charter speaks to the evolution very, very rudimentarily. And it provides for, in the preamble, of the charter itself, that one should be cognizant of the various forms of decentralization, including devolution, deconcentration and delegation in the political, administrative and financial spheres. So I think in our view, the devolution would be specific to member states and how their policies and legislation would provide for it in terms of how practically it gets to implementation. I would want to pause there. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Dr. Naidu. Can I take another question?
No, thank you very much, Jefferson. I think I agree with you that we have a very different understandings in terms of what the district development model is, and that this meeting is not to be dealing with that issue per se, but to deal with the issue of the charter. I think I'm satisfied with the explanations that have been provided by the department on the charter, or on the questions that we raise. And Chair, I propose that we actually move ahead with this charter and we ratify. We recommend the ratification. Thank you, Chair.
You're on mute, Chair.
Honorable Smith, sorry, you
want to
say something again?
Yes, Chair. I want to actually say that we fully support this charter, and my whole intention was just to show the department that there is contradictions between what they're planning to implement and the charter, and not to discuss the DDM, but to actually showcase. And I think that is important. That as government, you don't contradict yourself. But the DA fully supports this charter and move that it being rectified. Thank you.
Yes, no, it's okay. I hear you, Honorable Smith, but if you say contradiction, say according to the DA, we think that the policy of the government in terms of DDM contradicts this charter.
Please don't put words in my mouth, Chair.
Yeah, it is according to the DA. But you can, if an official of the government designated properly by the government presenting a view and an understanding of the DDM in relation to the charter, and that you call it a contradiction. For me, it's not a contradiction. It's okay. What they have explained, I fully understand, I support, I agree. You don't agree, let's leave it at that. And as I indicated, let us have time to discuss the DGM and agree to disagree in that respect. But thank you very much that you move for the adoption of the charter as presented by Dr. Naidu and the team. Any seconder? Honorable Sheikh?
Yeah, no, thank you very much, Jefferson, because I think I also moved for the adoption of the charter, but I'll second it. Thank you very much.
Okay, nice, okay. Well, I missed that, thank you. Thank you very much. Honorable members, that is that. We, as a committee, agree that this charter be adopted. We'll recommend that to the House with all the issues raised pertaining to the charter itself. And then thank you very much. Let me again take this opportunity to thank the department and the team led by DDG Naidu for briefing us and for always making themselves available when we request them to appear before us, and sharing with us some useful information that we need to take into consideration. On that note, thank you very much, all members of parliament, to just remind you at 1 o'clock this afternoon, there is a meeting of the Security and Justice Select Committee to consider the hate bill in that sense. Thank you very much. The meeting is adjourned.
Thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you very much, Honourable Chair and members.
Chair,
Recording stopped.